Take this opportunity to get away from the microphone. Take this opportunity to welcome those that are visiting with us. We want you to know that we're happy that you're here. We ask that you open your Bibles and open your minds that we might study some things together that would help you in your relationship with Jesus Christ. If you have any questions about the things that are said, if you have any questions concerning the content of the sermon this morning, you find to be not in accordance with God's will, I'll be more than happy to sit down with you with an open Bible and come to a better understanding. It is our hope and our prayer here at Knollwood to preach and proclaim and practice all that's contained in the Word of God, no more and no less. If we do not do that, you'd be our kind friend if you point that out to us, that we might have a better understanding. Ephesians, the first chapter, in verse 3, the Bible says that all spiritual blessings are in Christ Jesus. It is indeed an honor and a privilege to be a Christian. There are so many things about the Christian life that we ought to be thankful for. There are so many spiritual blessings that are just innumerous for us to name. We talk about redemption. We talk about forgiveness of sin. We talk about the opportunity that we have to be in the kingdom of God and the hope and the promise that we have of going to heaven to be with our Lord and with the saved of the ages forever. Indeed, it is a special blessing. But I want to talk this morning about a particular blessing. I want to talk this morning about the blessing of prayer. The blessing of prayer is indeed a very special blessing. It is a blessing that is only reserved for those who are in the family of God. It is the opportunity that God has given us and the only means available that we have that we can communicate to our Father in heaven of our needs, our request, our thanksgiving, and the things that are burning us in this life. And so it is a very special thing. And the Bible is very full of passages that teach us about prayer. And in this, we are building a relationship. And I think what I want to do, somehow a slide's been skipped. Well, I'll just go on my own. For some reason, one of the slides is not coming up, but I want you to take your Bibles out and turn to Romans, the 12th chapter. In Romans, the 12th chapter, in verse 12, the Bible says that we ought to continue steadfastly in prayer. It is something that we are commanded to do. In Philippians 4, in verse 6, we're told to make our requests known unto God. Yes, God knows what you need. God knows before we ask, Matthew 6, verse 8. But God tells us that he wants us to ask to demonstrate our faith. And then in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, and verse 18, we are told that we are to pray and make supplication for all men, that we are to make intercession for them. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, a passage that you're very familiar with, it tells us to pray without ceasing. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7, it says that we need to be serious and watchful as we pray. And in Colossians 4 and verse 2, it tells us to continue earnestly in prayer with all thanksgiving. And last, in Matthew the 14th chapter and verse 23, we have an example of Jesus going up to the mountain to pray after learning about the death of John the Baptist because he was in great grief over the loss of John the Baptist. And we could list many, many other passages that teach us the significance of prayer. But what is prayer and what is prayer for? Prayer is to build a relationship. We need to understand that we have a relationship with God. This is a very special relationship. This is one that we have that none other have. It is part. We are part of God's family. If you are a brother or sister in Christ, you are in the greatest family that exists. You are in the household of God, as 1 Timothy 3, verse 15 calls us. We are in God's house. We are part of His family. We have this father and child relationship. He is our father. You can bend your knee. You can bow your head. And you can address Him as your father because you are His child. That indeed is a relationship. We also understand that God desires a closeness in this relationship. God desires that we be close to Him, that we have an intimate relationship with Him, that it's one that He knows us and we know Him. He desires that from us. We also understand that prayer is talking with God. It is communication, one between the other. It is our ability, and the only ability that we have, that we can be able to communicate with our Creator and be able to talk to Him about the things that are troubling us. But do we use prayer as a safety valve? Do we use prayer only in time of need? Only in time of when we really need it or we think we really need it? Or do we use it as a safety valve only when everything else has failed? Do we only do it when we eat, when we get up in the morning, over meals? When do we use prayer? How do we use prayer? Does it feel sometimes in your prayer that you need to reintroduce yourself to God because you haven't talked to Him in so long, He might have forgotten who you are. And maybe you have forgotten who you are. And so maybe does it feel sometimes you need to reintroduce yourself to Him? And I'm going to ask you a question this morning. That's the last time you really pray. I don't mean over your food. I don't mean over a meal. I don't mean before you go to bed or when you get up. I'm not talking over a special time in life. When is the last time you really had a heart-to-heart talk with God? If you can't remember, then you don't value this blessing. If you cannot remember the last time you really talked with God, I mean you really had a discussion with Him, you really talked to Him about your life, about the things that are troubling you, about the things that you need, and about the things that you want to thank Him for. When is the last time you prayed for nothing more than to thank God? Just to thank Him, not to ask for a thing. To thank Him for your family, for your life, for your livelihood, for the life that you enjoy, and for the things that make your life pleasant here. When is the last time you truly thanked Him for all of that? But you see, building a relationship means that we spend time in prayer. And this is one of the greatest of spiritual blessings, but from my perspective, from what I see, is one of the ones that is used the least. Now, how did I arrive at that conclusion? I've arrived at that conclusion from what this lesson is about this morning. We're not going to talk about prayer. We're going to talk about a prayerlessness life. We're going to talk about a life that is not devoted to prayer. We're going to talk about what prayerlessness does to us, step by step, and how eventually it will destroy us spiritually. Now, we're not talking about people in the world, folks. We're not talking about denominational people. We're not talking about others of different beliefs and faith. We're going to have a heart-to-heart talk with us. We're going to talk about Christians this morning, and we're going to talk about this avenue of prayer. And we're going to talk about what prayerlessness will do in your life. And we're going to show that step by step it puts you in spiritual jeopardy. Many times you can equate, and many times, the lack of people's strength and their ability to live the Christian life is directly paralleled to a poor prayer life. Many times we struggle in this life because we don't pray, because we don't talk to God. And because we do things on our own, and when we do it on our own, we find ourselves in trouble. Now, I want to share with you some things this morning that will result from prayerlessness. The first thing that will result when you don't pray to God as you should is that you will begin to bear burdens that God never intended for you to bear alone. There are things in this life, ladies and gentlemen, that God never intended for you to face all by yourself. There are struggles and obstacles and pitfalls along the way that God knew would plague us, that God knew would try to destroy our resolve and our commitment to God. And He knew that they would be part of this thing called life. And so He told us that we need to bear our burdens to Him. In Psalms chapter 55 and verse number 22, the psalmist said, "Cast your burden on the Lord, for He will sustain you." Cast your burden on the Lord. He will give you sustenance. He will sustain you. He will see you through it. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 5 and verse 7 that cast our care upon Him, for He careth for you. And in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, Paul made the wonderful statement, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, it says that we need to be strong in the Lord. Brethren, we have burdens that are too heavy to bear alone. And when you try to bear that burden alone, it's going to do something to your relationship with God. It's going to do something about your resolve and your commitment to keep God. I want you to take your psalm book, if you have them, and open them to page 69 for a moment. We sing this song from time to time. It's called, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. I want you to notice verse 1 of this song. It says, What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what a peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Songs can teach you if you listen. Sometimes we bear burden needlessly alone because we don't take it to God. Notice in the song, what pain we often forfeit. We bring it upon ourselves because we try to do it alone. Ladies and gentlemen, there are things that will happen to you in this life that you will need the help of God every step along the way. One of them is dealing with death. God never intended you to walk down the road of death and pain and anguish and grief all by yourself because he knew what heartache and grief that it brought into your life. You remember in John 11, verse 35, it's a simple passage. Everyone could quote it. It says that Jesus wept. But did Jesus wept over what happened to Lazarus because Lazarus had died? That wasn't the only reason that he grieved. He grieved because he saw what death did to man. Death is finality in a lot of ways. You know, there are things that have happened in my life that I know that I struggled because I tried to do it all by myself. One of my favorite poems is a poem called Footprints. I have it in my office. I look at it all the time. It reminds me that there are times in my life that God has always helped me. He's always been there in a time of need. He's always helped me when I've struggled the most. But in this poem, there was a time that this person was struggling greatly. And he says, when I had it the worst, when I was struggling to even just keep my senses, and I would have the most difficult times in my life, I looked behind, instead of seeing two footprints, I only saw one. All the other times I saw two, but at those most struggling times, I only saw one. And the end of the poem says, that's when I carried you. Has God ever carried you? If he hasn't, he will if you let him. Your faith will be weakened if you try to bear burdens that God never intended for you to handle alone. Life can be cruel. It can be difficult. And it can throw your life upside down in a snap of a finger. What do you do when life throws you a curve? When life throws you something that's breaking your heart? Something that you don't know where to turn? You don't know where to go? You don't know what to do? What do you turn to? Who do you talk about it? Who do you talk with? You need to talk to God. You need to let God help you bear that burden. That's why he's there. He's there to help you. He's there to sustain you. He can't take it away, but he can help you bear it. He can help you not crumble under the weight of it. He can help share that burden. But you know why so many of us bear burdens alone? In the final analysis, we do because we don't trust him enough. We don't have enough faith in him. Well, maybe it is that we don't think he can help us. You know, when I look at the life of Jesus Christ upon the earth, when he had his most difficult trial, you know what he always turned to? Prayer and his Father Now, if the Lord saw the need to do that, if the Lord saw the need to turn to God and help his father, help him bear the burdens that he faced on earth, do you think there's a lesson in there somewhere for us? That when we face our trial and our struggle, and brethren, we're going to face them. You're going to grow older, and people you love and care for are going to disappoint you. They're going to do things that you don't want them to do. They're going to do things that you had prayed that they would never do. And then there's going to be people that hurt you. There's going to be people that leave you that you love and you care for and you greatly depend upon, and you need someone to help you bear that burden. Now, I'm going to be there to help you, but I'm going to tell you the truth tonight, this morning. Nobody can help you like God. As much as I could help you, as much as I could have empathy for you, and I could try to strengthen you, nobody can give you the mercy and the peace and the calm that God can. And maybe you're here this morning and you're struggling under a burden. But maybe the struggle is because you've never turned it over to somebody who can help you bear it. And so we need to bear our burdens to God. Are you worried about being troublesome? You know what? My children are grown now. But you know what? They'll never be troublesome when they call on me. They can never be too much trouble. I don't know if I could say that while they were growing up, but now they can never be too much trouble if they call upon me. You know why? Because I love them. Have you forgotten that God loves you? He loves you. He's touched by your grief. He's touched by your sorrow. He's touched by your anxiety, and he wants to help you bear that burden. But you've got to trust him. You've got to turn it over to him. If you don't, then something else will happen. Then you will grow. There's my chart. How I got there, I don't know. My fault. I should have looked this morning. Weariness. You ever get weary? I mean bone tired. But if you try to bear your burden all by yourself, what you're going to do is you're going to become wearisome. Life is going to become weariness to you. It's going to be a weariness. You're going to get tired. And when you get tired, you get weak. And when you get tired, you don't see things as clearly as you used to. But when you try to bear your own burden, then you're going to grow weary. In Isaiah the 50th chapter and verse number 4, Isaiah said that we need to learn to talk to the Lord when we are weary. In Isaiah, in Matthew 11, who can forget the words of Jesus in the great invitation? All ye that are laden and heavy laden, come unto me and I will give you rest. In 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, Satan is a roaring lion. And you know what? When you think about a lion is not one of the... We look at the lion and we think of the king of the beast. He's just out there strutting his stuff and he's just going out at anything and everything. But you know what? That's not how a lion works. A lion lays low for his prey, and he goes after the lame, the weak, and the slow. And he just waits to be able to get them in a moment that they are weak. That's how the devil works. You keep bearing your burden all by yourself. You keep trying to fight this life all by yourself. You keep trying to do it all by yourself, and you're going to get tired, and when you get tired, the devil's going to snap. He's going to be right there to tell you, God's not as loving as he says he is. God doesn't care for you as much as he says he does. If he loves you so much, where is he? Why is he having you go through this? Why are you having to go through this difficulty? Why are things not going right in your life? You see, now you're at a weakness because you have become weary. In Isaiah chapter 40, and verse 28 through 31, it says, if we wait on the Lord, we will never grow weary. And he gives strength to the weak. In Galatians 6, verse 10, it says, we will reap if we faint not. Do not grow weary in well-doing, for we will reap if we faint not. If you have your psalm books there, turn to page 62. Did you think to pray? Look at verse number 1. Ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? In the name of Christ our Savior, did you sue for loving favor? as a shield today. Oh, how prayer rests the weary. Prayer will change the night to day. So when life seems dark and dreary, don't forget to pray. Prayer rests the weary. When we fail to pray, and when we try to bear our burdens all by ourselves, then it becomes burdensome and we get weary. And when you get weary, and when you get tired, now you are more vulnerable to the onslaughts of your enemy and your adversary. And if you think the devil cares one thing about your weariness, one thing about your burdens, one thing about your problems, one thing about your difficulties, if you think Satan cares one iota about that, then you don't know anything about Satan. Because when you are the weakest, that's when Satan is going to pounce. Do you get tired? You get run down? Maybe it's because you're not abusing God enough. Maybe it's because you're not letting Him lead you. You're trying to lead Him. We need to get ourselves back in position. We need to understand who we're following. And we need to let Him help us that we do not grow weary. Brethren, there's enough things in this life that's going to make you weary. Just living life's going to make you weary. Just trying to make a living for your family, raising your kids in nurture and admonition, that's going to make you weary. Are you going to add to it all these other things that can come upon you and you're not going to try to help, let the Lord help you? You're going to try to do it yourself? And how in the world do you think you're not going to grow weary? You're going to grow weary. You're going to get weakened. You're playing right into the devil's hand. But you know what? When you try to bear your burden alone, and then it makes you weary, the next thing it's going to do is going to discourage you. Now you're going to be discouraged. You're going to be overwhelmed by little earthly struggles. Those things that never seem to be anything now seem to be mountains that you can't get over. And you become discouraged. And well, you know what happens when we get discouraged? We lose focus. We're no longer looking at things the way we ought to. We're now focusing too much on this life and not enough on our spiritual life. You know, this is one of the greatest weapons of Satan, is to allow discouragement to cause us to lose our focus, to cause us to think more about things of the temporal nature, things about this life, and when we think more about them, then we'll forget our spiritual life, and we'll get discouraged, and Satan's all happy about that. In Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 6 through 8, I want you to take your Old Testaments out, and I want you to turn to that. Deuteronomy chapter 31. Verse 6 through 8. Be strong, be of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God is He who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Then Moses called Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong, be of good courage, for you must go with the people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit it. And the Lord said, He is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. Joshua chapter 1, God's assurance is given to Joshua himself after the death of Moses, that he need not to become discouraged. He need to be a man of courage because God would never turn His back upon him. In Luke chapter 21 and verse number 34, we need to take heed unless things come that will discourage us. But when you try to bear your burden alone, when you become weary and you become tired, then you become discouraged. And you become discouraged and then you can't see anything good. And then everything loses its perspective. I lose my focus. I lose my guide. I lose my path. And all of a sudden I'm going in a place and down a road that I never thought I'd go down. Take your psalm books out and turn to page 77. I must tell Jesus. Verse 2. I must tell Jesus all of my troubles. He is a kind, compassionate friend. If I but ask Him, He will deliver. Make up my troubles quickly an end. I must tell Jesus. I cannot bear my burden alone. I must tell Jesus. Jesus can help me. Jesus alone. What do you do when you become discouraged? Could it be that some of the discouragement that I find in my life is because I haven't prayed enough? Have I become discouraged because I have tried to rely upon myself too much? Have I become discouraged by my circumstances because I have not allowed God to help me through this thing called life? And have I become discouraged because I'm just tired of bearing these burdens all by myself? And therefore, I become discouraged and I lose focus and I become overwhelmed. And you know what's coming next. The next thing that sets in is you begin to doubt. Is God real? Does God really love me? God really there? Is God's promises true? He said He'd never forsake me. He said He'd never leave me. He said He will always be there. But is He? When people begin to doubt God, you can see it in their eyes. I remember a number of years ago, a friend of mine was talking to another friend who had left the Lord's church. He no longer feared his life. He began to doubt and question whether God was even real. He was losing his faith, step by step. Why do you doubt? What's changed? God's still there. His promises are still true. He's not left you. He's not turned His back upon you. He's where He's always been. I remember a number of years ago I heard an excellent lesson by Brother Connie Adams in Florida. And he was talking about the challenge of suffering. And he made a statement in that lesson that I have never forgotten. He said, the question is not, where is God when I'm suffering, when I'm discouraged, when I'm weary, and when I'm facing a difficult challenge? The question is not where God's at. God's where He's always been. The question is, where are you at? Where is your faith? Where is your strength? What are you depending upon? Doubt is the greatest threat to our faith. Doubt can set in when you begin to believe that things are not going exactly like you thought they were. But you know why doubt is setting in? Because you tried to carry these burdens in your life all by yourself. And then it's made you weary. It's made you discouraged. And now you're beginning to doubt whether or not God really loves you, whether or not God's really real, and really or not whether He really cares about you, and whether He really loves you or not. And what's happening is your faith is slipping away, inch by inch. Life is cursed with many problems, and you're not going to get around them. They're going to happen to all of us. We're going to have problems. It's not that we're not going to have problems. It's going to do what we're going to do with our problems. It is easy being a Christian when everything is going well, when everything seems to be rosy, and when everything seems to be going my way. That's easy being a Christian. It gets a little harder when the monkey wrenches get thrown in, and when curves come in, and when the devil lays a stumbling block, or when something smacks you right in the face that you weren't expecting. The Bible tells us, Hebrews 11 verse 6, that without faith it's impossible to please God. Hebrews 3 verse 12 warns us, for unbelief can cause you to depart from God. Do you understand that when Moses disobeyed God in Numbers chapter 20, God charged him with unbelief? You mean Moses was an unbeliever? No, he didn't believe God because he didn't obey Him. That's a sign of unbelief. Jude verse 20, it says, building ourselves up on our faith when we pray in the Holy Spirit. Take your psalm books out and turn to page 89. Do you doubt? Jesus, pilot me. Jesus, Savior, pilot me over life's tempestuous sea. Unknown waves before me roll, hiding rocks and treacherous shoal. Chart and compass came from thee, Jesus, Savior, pilot me. Do you doubt? Is life causing you to doubt whether or not God is really there? Whether His promises are truly real? Whether He really loves you? Whether He has the power and the ability to help you with this thing called life? Are you doubting Him? Has doubt crept into your mind that makes you trying to question your faith, question your determination and commitment to serve God? Why is it happening? Have you ever known people to fall away? You and I both have known. And this happened to every one of them. They went down this road because they chose to do it without God. And this is where it ends. But sadly, it doesn't end with doubt. It doesn't end with doubt because after doubt will come disillusionment. Now you become disillusioned. You have no joy or happiness in your life. Everything is misery. Everything is anguish. Everything is pain. There's no happiness in your life. There's no joy. We begin to question the Christian life. Maybe this is not the best way. Maybe some of my friends had it right. Maybe I'm missing something. Maybe I need to go back and go what I left. Maybe I left it too quickly. Or maybe you never experienced that type of life and you think maybe there's something there that I didn't see. Maybe there's something there that can bring me joy and can bring me happiness. And so people leave the Lord and they try to find it in something else because they become disillusioned. We begin to question our relationship with God. We're drifting away from this close relationship and we're getting farther and farther away. And we're becoming easier and easier prey for Satan. In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9, we must not be afraid because the Lord is with us. In Luke 18 verse 1, we must pray, we must not lose heart. Do not lose heart, do not lose your faith. Pray. In Hebrews the 13th chapter, verse 5 and 6, the Bible says, He will never leave you nor forsake you. That is a promise from God. God has never turned His back on you at any time, at any moment, in any circumstance. If anybody left God, it was us that did the leaving. God never will leave us. God will never abandon us. He will never give up on us. Even if we go away from Him, He's still there to take us when we come to our senses. And anybody that thinks anything else has become disillusioned. Take your psalm books out and turn to page 84. Tarry with me, O my Savior, for the day is passing by. See the shades of evening gather, and the night is drawing nigh. Tarry with me, blessed Savior. Leave me not till morning light, for I am lonely here without thee. Tarry with me through the night. Have you become disillusioned? Have you become disillusioned because you have lost sight? You've lost your spiritual perspective. You've lost your focus. You've lost your aim. You've lost your goal. And you have allowed these things of this world to overwhelm you to despair. There's only one thing left now. There's only one thing left. And that's disaster. And it is inevitably going to happen. The end is inevitable. Disaster will come and it will come in waves. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12, it gives us the dimmest spiritual perspective of a life without God. It's a dim picture. It's one without hope and without God in the world. In John chapter 15 and verse 5, Jesus said, without Him you can do nothing. And last but not least, in Psalms 55 verse 17, it tells us that pray and He will hear our voice. But if you begin to lose your faith, you see, it's a progression, brethren. I begin to try to fight this life all by myself. I begin to fight the devil on his ground and his turf, on his terms, and I do it by myself. I don't let God help me. I don't turn to him. I don't talk to him. I don't pray to him. I don't ask him for encouragement. I don't ask him for strength. I don't ask him for wisdom. And then I become weary. And then after a while I become weary. Then I become discouraged. And I become discouraged. I don't know where to go. I don't know where to turn. I don't know what to do. And all of a sudden I begin to doubt whether or not God's really there. Or whether or not God really loves me. Or whether or not God really hears me when I pray. Or whether or not he really cares about me. And then I become disillusioned. And then I begin to think all kinds of things why my faith and the things that I've left, maybe they're not as bad as I once thought they were. And then I step over to the other side. And now I've experienced spiritual disaster. But all of it happened. All of it took place because I forgot to pray. Because I didn't talk to him. I didn't trust him. I didn't have enough faith in him. And I didn't love him enough to allow him to help me. Are you too proud to let God help you? You know what? Letting God help you is not a weakness. It's a strength. But do you see, ladies and gentlemen, this morning, do you see, my brother and sister in Christ, do you see what will happen if you leave prayer out of your life? Do you see the road that you're going down? And step by step is leading you to sure spiritual disaster. But it could have been avoided. You could have avoided it. You could have been able to overcome it had you stopped, took the time, made the effort to get down on your knees and to talk to God heart to heart. Prayerlessness is a life that will end in spiritual disaster. What about us? Are we in this picture? Are you traveling down this road? Are you at one of these stops? If you are, you need to wake up and you need to make an adjustment. Please take your song books out and turn to song that's been selected. Listen to me, brethren. If you don't have a relationship with God, then it's easy to leave. You know why some people aren't touched when they have to finally be withdrawn from because of unfaithfulness? Because they've left something that they never had. You can't leave something you never had. If you don't have a relationship with God because you don't talk to him, don't blame God for your trouble. Don't say that he's become unreliable. Don't say that he hasn't done what he said. If you haven't done your part, don't blame God. That's your fault. We need to also understand that what kind of prayer life do you have? Do you pray? Do you follow the instruction of 1 Thessalonians 5:17? Do you pray without ceasing now, brethren? I'm not talking about being on bended knee 24 hours a day, but I'm talking about, do you pray regularly? Is there something you do regularly? What kind of relationship that you have with God is directly tied to what kind of prayer life you have. If you have no prayer life, you have no relationship. And if you have no relationship, then you are vulnerable to your adversary. And your adversary is going to swallow you alive. And he's going to destroy your faith eventually. And he's going to win you back. And if you don't think he can, then you're right where he wants you to be. Remember, David and Daniel, those who had a relationship with God that were not defeated by their circumstance. Yes, David made some missteps. He made some miscalculations, but he got back on the path and he never left it. Daniel, even though in captivity, never forgot he was a child of God and never forgot that God was with him every step of the way. And when you study the book of Daniel, every time Daniel was up against it, the first person he turned to was God. Can you say that? Can I say that? We need to understand that prayer is a blessing, but it is an untapped blessing of untapped potential if you do not use it and you do not master it. Brethren, if the only time you ever say amen is over a meal, and when you hear a public prayer here, you are in trouble. You just don't know it yet. My recommendation to all of us is if your prayer life is not what it ought to be, you go to God in prayer and you ask Him to help you improve. And you know what? I challenge you this morning. If you pray more, if you let God help you more, you know what you're going to find out? You're going to find out this thing called life is not as great a struggle as you thought it was. And you're not going to be as easily overwhelmed by your setbacks. And you're not going to be as easily discouraged. And you're not going to grow weary. And you're going to understand what's happening to you. And you're going to always turn to God. And you're going to think of Him first because you know that He's there because you've used it and you know by practice. But my dear friend, if you're here and you're not a child of God, all the prayer that you utter, all the talking you do with God, He hears you. But He doesn't hear you like He'll hear you when you're one of His children. Because if anyone can pray and anybody can get prayer answered, then there's no need to become a child of God. But child of God you need to be because that's where this blessing is at. So hearing the word of God, believing it, repenting of your sin, confessing His name before men, and being buried in a watery grave to contact the blood of Christ, you can arise to walk in newness of life. And you know what you'll be able to do for the first time? With great effort and with great force and with great assurance, you can bow your head and say, "My Father who art in heaven." And that will be a true statement. But my brother and sister in Christ, many of you have already done that. Are you struggling in your life? Are you not where you'd like to be spiritually? Are you not as strong? Are you not as resolved and committed as you think you ought to be? Maybe here's your problem. Maybe it's because you don't talk to God enough. Could it be that one of the greatest blessings that we have, we don't use, and we don't understand the power because we don't use it? I challenge you. I challenge me. I can tell you, brethren, one of the things that I continually pray about every day of my life is my work. And I ask God for help every day of my life because I know I need it. I ask God for wisdom. I ask God for patience with me and long-suffering with me. And I ask Him to allow me to be a help to you in any way that I can and open my eyes how I might better do that. But you know what? I know where my strength lies. It's not a myth to me. It's not something I wonder about. It's not something I fret about because I know. My strength is with the Lord. He will help me. He will help you. If He can help you this morning in any way, we bid you come forward as together we stand and sing.